You're listening to the Christian Humanist Radio Network, ChristianHumanist.org.
All the girls are complicated. Everyone is precious too, and you might get lucky if you do. Oh, you might get lucky if you do. Find the one that makes you laugh. Find the one that takes your breath, where you won't get everything that you want. Oh, but you'll need one to dote upon.
Hello and welcome to a very special retrospective episode 200 of the Christian Feminist Podcast. This is a very special episode, though it is not actually our 200th, it is episode number 200, so we're going to do things a little bit differently today. We are going to talk about how long we've been with the show, look back on some favorite episodes and conversations with each other, and also do a little bit of self-reflection about how we've changed over the past 10 years that this show has existed. Right at the top, before we jump in, I should say that in addition to being a very special episode, since we made it to milestone number 200, we've decided that at least for a while, this is going to be the last regular episode of CFP. So we want to thank all the listeners who have, whether you've been with us since the beginning or whether you joined recently, we really love this community and are really appreciative of your thoughts, all the times you've written in, how you've engaged with us on social media. And we really appreciate you letting us be a part of your lives for the last 10 years. So thanks to all of our listeners. And how we're going to do this is we will go around the horn for each of the three questions I've already mentioned in the same order. So first we're going to talk about how long we've been with the show and tell you who each of us are. Christina, why don't you start us off?
All right. I think I'm the oldest person on the panel, but not certainly the longest on the show by any stretch. I didn't join until 2017. I was at that time professor of English at Wheaton College, and I was doing a crossover show with Michael Farmer, who had and Katie. I don't know if you remember that, Katie. That was the first time I was on the air on the podcast, and we were talking about an episode of Twilight Zone, maybe? I can't remember.
Yeah, but I do remember that. Okay. That was a really fun one.
That was a fun one. And Michael had interviewed me about my book, and I did such a, what I thought was a poor job speaking on that podcast, that I was like, I've got to get better at this. This is a kind of area of speaking that I'm not good at, you know? And so I thought, And so then Victoria asked me if I was interested in being with the panelist on the Christian Feminist Podcast, and I thought, that sounds like a good way to challenge myself, and also a lot of fun and great topics and everything I care about. So that's why I joined in back then, and I've loved being a part of it.
Thank you so much, Christina. And I will say, like, that was an incredible get for us. Michael and I know you know, because we've said this to you over margaritas in your house, were huge fans of your work before you became our actual real life friend. So we're so grateful for the wisdom and the scholarship and everything that you've brought to our projects.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm next. I am Victoria Reynolds Farmer. I have been with this show since before its beginning. It was not just my idea, but I kind of put this whole thing together. This started actually out of a conversation with Katie, and I was teaching. I was adjuncting lots of freshman classes and very low pay and not a lot of intellectual stimulation. And Katie was staying at home with tiny children, and we were both saying, like, wouldn't it be great if there were a place where we could have the kinds of stimulating conversations that we had in graduate school with all these really smart friends who talked about deep things? And that was the genesis of this podcast, where we could talk about all the things we talk about when we're together anyway. Religious issues and gender issues and how they affect our lives. So, yeah, that's how I got here. Katie, if I didn't steal your thunder, you can go next.
No, I was in a similar place mentally to Victoria, but like she said, for a different reason. And I can't do we I don't remember exactly. Do you remember the exact date, Victoria? Like when? Because I was trying to remember today if I had two kids yet or just the one when we started, and I honestly couldn't remember
Yeah, I mean, we
when.
could look at when the first episode dropped, and maybe I should have done that before
Oh, it's
recording
okay.
this, but no, I
September
didn't.
13th of 2013.
Okay. So we should have known
Wow.
that you would know, Alexis. Wow. Okay, yeah. So then I had like an 18-month-old and I was teaching online, but had just started that, and that obviously is not the same as teaching a person, and I was just very stir crazy. And so I was wanting to have some more kind of intellectual conversations. And as time went on in my life, I later on I did start to get that kind of outlet back in my in-person life, because when we moved to Houston, I became a part of a book club with a bunch of ladies who, were either professors or professors' wives, or who were teachers, or and most of those ladies went to Biola, so they had been, spending years like reading humanistic texts and all this kind of stuff. But at the time when we started this podcast, that was not true for me. That when we started this, we were living in rural Kansas. I only had a few friends at that point of any kind, and nowhere in my life was I experiencing in my in-person life a chance to do something like this. So I was in from this, like I was on it. I really was excited about it from the beginning. And I was excited about it too, because from the beginning we had different, we were all different versions of feminist. We were never all exactly the same person in terms of how we related to the term or what we meant, or, how much we knew about the history of it or anything like that. And I liked that. I always liked that there was kind of a multiplicity of viewpoints. So
Yes, and that has remained true completely.
it absolutely has. So yeah,
Yeah,
that's
and
kind of.
I'm really glad to hear you guys say that, because I, not to toot my own horn, but I really tried to be to overuse a Christianese word. I really tried to be intentional about getting together a bunch of women of different political and religious persuasions. And while the show hasn't been as diverse as I would like it to be in other ways, I do think that that is an achievement of the thing we've built here. So I'm glad to hear you say that.
It's definitely an achievement of yours, Victoria. Thank you.
Katie, I think I cut you off. What were you saying?
No, you're good. The only other thing I was going to say is that being a part of CFP also then gave me the chance to step into some other areas of our podcast network too, because we would have these crossover episodes, and we and so I got would go hang out on Sectarian Review every now and then, or even like to do Christian Humanist, or so it kind of created these other connections, not just within those of us at CFP, but then we kind of spread some tendrils into some other areas. And that was nice too, because it also gave me the chance to get to know some other people who weren't just our CFP people.
Yeah, that's true. It's been great to really expand my circle and get to know people that in a lot of cases I think I wouldn't have talked to about deep issues without having this network. So yeah, that's been really great.
And led to some in-person friendships. Like I still remember, and I thought it was hilarious at the time, because it 100% felt like a blind date. But I still remember when David and I met Alexis and Coyle. in person for the first time. We were like on our way back to Kansas or something, and we met up with you guys. Do you remember that, Alexis, at like a random?
I do.
And we had our kids with us, but it was like we had never seen each other face to face, and it definitely felt a little bit to me like a blind date, and I loved it. It was amazing.
That's fantastic. I like that. Marie, you're up next.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm Marie Haas, and I've been with the show from way back at the start, too. It seems like a billion years ago. I had posted something Christian feministy on Facebook, and Victoria, who I knew from my PhD program that I was finishing up at the time, contacted me to say, you know, why don't you come get involved in this podcast I'm starting.
I pounced on you immediately and said, come join my friends.
And I'm so grateful you did. So I had been sort of slowly undergoing my feminist awakening for the last few years before that. And I was grateful for the opportunity to learn more and be involved. And at the time, I didn't have the three kids that I have now, so I wasn't looking for the same kind of stimulation that this has now been providing me with, as I've sort of shifted into the role that I guess Katie was filling at the beginning of the podcast, as I've been really relishing having this in my life as I've been focusing on taking care of the three kids now. But I've appreciated being involved in this over the whole course of the podcast. What about you, Alexis?
My story is very similar to y'all's in some ways and a little bit different in some ways. I looked it back up. I came on board in March of 2015, so just shy of 10 years, so not right at the beginning. I came on for the episode talking about women's Bible studies, and was definitely a direct beneficiary of the big tent approach to how we define feminism, because I came in as someone who had spent almost no time thinking about and digesting ideas around feminism, and have had the opportunity to, over the last 10 years, engage with some of those ideas and think about things and learn from the other panelists in an area of study and thought that just I had not spent a lot of time in. I also was home with a small child when I started. I was also adjuncting, although my adjuncting work was in the field of law, which is what my education is in. So for me, rather than a return to grad school, these conversations were a whole new arena because I had spent a lot of time thinking about things like the law, and I had not spent a lot of time thinking about things like how feminism is present in various works of classic literature. I hadn't engaged with a lot of works of classic literature in an academic setting. So for me, it was a new, like I was getting a little tiny glimmer of grad school in the humanities, and specifically in literature, with that extra layer of education around feminism. So it's been a tremendous learning experience for me. And I so appreciate the grace and patience that y'all have had with me as I've had like giant epiphanies that are like first year, you know, English student epiphanies that I'm having. I'm just now, you know, I'm thinking about all these things I didn't interact with. And it's been a tremendous blessing as well, because sort of like what you were saying, Victoria, you know, living now in a small town that is, you know, equal parts Baptist and Pentecostal, I really appreciate getting to interact with and converse with people who have different ideas and experiences than I tend to run into in my other daily in-person life. So, yeah, but coming up on 10 years, and so much learning and thinking and being challenged, for which I'm tremendously grateful.
Thanks so much, Alexis. And please don't sell yourself short. You've been great, and I've really learned so much from you, because as you said, you were coming from a different perspective than my default perspective, and I think that's such a good thing. And I really respect your opinion, and your you always seem to react much more level-headedly than I do about most things, and I appreciate that and have learned a lot from you over the years.
Thank you. You're very kind.
All right, Lori, your turn.
Thanks. So I had to also look it up because time is a flat circle, and if it happened in the past, it happened in the past. So I looked up my first episode, which I do remember. It was the Riot Girl episode, episode 3.1, in November of 2013. And y'all brought me on because I was your resident punk from grad school. And then you sucked me in and shanghaied me. And we're like, hey, we're doing a Supernatural episode and you're going to be on it. And I'm like, okay. And suddenly now I do pop culture stuff on the regular on the internet, which is wild. But the wildest thing is my joke has been every time I've had to introduce myself is like, I'm a perpetual grad student. But guess what, listeners? Not anymore.
Almost.
Yay!
As of this recording.
Congratulations.
And thank you. In 5 days, I finally defend my dissertation, and I had official notice on Monday from the dean of the graduate school that he has approved my petition to extend my candidacy to 15 years, longer than it should have been. And assuming that the conversation goes well in a few days, I'm going to graduate. And I didn't swear right there. I was gonna. Did you hear it? I didn't swear.
We're very proud of you both for the graduating and for the not swearing.
Also, yeah. I love the poetic kind of feeling of you finishing like the week we record our last episode. Like,
yes.
we couldn't have planned that. Like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. The end of an era in more ways than one.
Yeah. Right.
We were chatting a little bit beforehand, and I'll give the listeners, I might seem a little less enthusiastic than my hyperactive rabbit persona would normally go, because this has been a hard week. I have been very much looking forward to this because I love that synergy. I feel it feels really appropriate that the Christian Feminist Podcast has been with me as I've been working on this degree and the last 10 years writing this stupid book. And you're welcome for me giving you a justification for tying a nice ribbon on this experience.
Amazing. You're going to send us all a copy, right?
I might just stand on a street corner and just start reading it loudly.
That's amazing too.
Love it.
And I know the feeling. I remember it well. It's such a slug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll spare you the gory details, but it's a God thing that this is happening now, because the book was actually mostly complete in 2018 and was not going to get finished unless my current mentor, the current graduate coordinator, unless he just happened to step in. And he did. He just happened to step in, and he made the rest of it happen. So, yeah, I'm feeling overwhelmingly grateful about that, and overwhelmingly grateful about my time with all of y'all. I feel like I've not become more articulate, because I will never be articulate, because I talk off the cuff on everything.
Lie. You are very articulate.
But I have loved all the conversations I've had with you, and the perspectives that I've had, like you've shown me new versions of the world, and I can't think of anything more profound than that. Thank you all.
You'll have to let us know whether to list you as Dr. Norris in the post on the episode.
Oh,
we're doing it. It's happening.
Yeah, I think the episode drops shortly before I defend. So let's be presumptuous and just do it.
We'll do it. We can do whatever we want. It's the last episode. What are they going to do to us?
Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you, Lori. Okay, Sarah, you are last up for this first question.
All right. So I'm Sarah Thomas, and under a handful of different aliases over the last decade plus, I have been podcasting. I had to look it up also. I think my first episode was the end of September in 2013. So some of the introduction series and the Waves of Feminism sequence that we did way back at the beginning. And I think Marie, you and Victoria and I recorded together a couple of times early on, very early on in the process. And I remember hearing from you, Victoria, and you sharing your thoughts about the project. And you had mentioned wanting to gauge my interest because you were interested in a Catholic perspective. And I think for a while I was kind of the token Catholic on the podcast, which was great. And I loved that. And I and thank you so much for reaching out and giving me the opportunity to think about the grad school aspects of my life, which by and large were secular, mostly secular in focus, and the aspects of my faith, which has been something that's been a part of my life from the very beginning. I am what the Catholic community will refer to as a cradle Catholic, but to think about how those two spheres of my life are not, in fact, disparate, but are intimately integrated, and to have conversations with other women who are looking for ways to consider that integrated worldview has been a beautiful gift over the last 12 years. And so thank you very much.
Yes, of course. We should say, I know we're going to get to this later in the episode, but you were the only Catholic on the podcast until you convinced me, not that it was you, though part of it was, till you convinced me to cross the Tiber and join you on the other side, and now there are two of us. But I'll talk about that more later. But seriously, I'm so incredibly grateful for you and everything that you bring to this show. I really think that, we live very close to each other now. We see each other all the time. It kind of feels like recording an episode of this show whenever we go out to dinner, inevitably, because we always talk about these same kinds of issues. So I know that that our friendship means that I won't leave this behind, even when we stop posting it for the public, and that's a real gift too. Okay, so the next thing, we're going to look back a little bit more and go through some of our favorite episodes of the past. And if you couldn't just pick one, I didn't just pick one either. I have two, so it's okay if you cheated. Christina, tell us what episode you'd like to revisit for a minute.
If you cheated, I cheated a lot. There was no way I could narrow it down, but I do have a couple of things that I think my favorite was talking about Truth Table, because I felt like that was a moment when that also loops in with the next question, which is what you've learned a lot. And it was a self-reflective moment for us on the podcast about racial issues and feminism. And I really liked being challenged in that way. And I liked talking about this podcast of this other podcast that I really admired. I really enjoyed that. And I learned a lot from that. But I also loved talking about Julian and Norwich with Katie and Victoria that one time. That was one of my favorites, talking about the Barbie movie. And I just got to say, I don't know where Sarah Klooster is, but Sarah and Lori, like, you guys, I had so much fun nerding out with you guys. Sarah Connor, Princess Leia, Scully, Ripley, the whole thing, the CFP nerds. So those are the favorite things that I got a chance to talk about.
Nerd power forever.
Yes, and thank you for mentioning that. I also think that one of the best things that we have done, or one of the most fun things for me, is that we've been able to explore kind of niche interests within our panel, within the little group. We've had these sort of pockets of episode themes that keep popping up. The kind of sci-fi thread that you mentioned. I have foisted my musical theater opinions on people. we've had the mystery circle do their thing. And it's been just a blast to be able to explore our interests and learn about other people's interests in this kind of safe exploratory space. So that's been really cool, I think. All right, my turn. So I have two, one that I was not on and one that I was. My very favorite episode is one that I was not on, the discussion of text me when you get home. I thought was just incredibly insightful and lovely. My very favorite thing that this show has brought to my life is that I get to share with the world these deep friendships with incredibly intelligent, thoughtful women in my life, and listening to those women talk about the value of nuanced, challenging female friendship for an hour really was a highlight. And my favorite episode that I was on is the Poisonwood Bible episode, which I've actually listened to twice since we recorded it, which is
a good one.
Is not something I ever do, because listening to yourself is weird, in my opinion.
Totally.
But I really enjoyed that episode, and I continue to enjoy it, because it was such a thrill to find a new favorite book for the first time and to be able to unpack it and the reasons why it affected me so much, with friends who I trust, whose opinions I respect. So those are my two favorite episodes. Katie, what about you?
I'm with Christina that I have multiple favorite episodes. So I'm gonna try to sum up which types of episodes were my favorite. One of my favorite things about doing the podcast is that all the time we would be talking about something, and I would realize something about the thing we were discussing that had never occurred to me as I was saying it out loud, because I'm an external processor. So I would watch it or read it, and I would take all these notes, and I'd really be thinking hard about it, but I still wouldn't fully realize kind of what I thought about it, or I would have these new insights like while we were talking. And that was my favorite thing. And it happened almost every episode. But I think that episodes where that happened, one episode I remember clearly that happened is when we talked about, and Laurie, I know you and I were on it, but I can't remember who the third person was. When we talked about The Expanse. Who was the third person with us when we talked about The Expanse? Do you remember?
Oh, I was there.
Were there. Was that you? Okay. I'm so sorry. I didn't remember. We were talking about costumes on that show. And I realized as we were talking that I had something that I had only noticed subconsciously about a costume in like the final scene of that series. It like blew my mind. it was such a cool feeling to go, man, I didn't even notice that. And that's like the magic for me, is getting to kind of think through something for the first time together. I loved, Victoria, I'm glad you kind of shouted out that we formed these little subgroups, because I loved all of our mystery gang episodes that me and Alexis and Laurie did together, which wasn't on purpose. We didn't start out and like, okay, we're going to form a clique and we're going to do these episodes like only with each other. It just kind of ended up happening because we all enjoy it. So when we talked about Number One Ladies Detective Agency or Gosford Park was an amazing one. I love talking about that film because I watched it as a young person and didn't like it, and I hadn't rewatched it until we did that episode just recently, and it blew my mind, and we had this amazing conversation about it. I loved
That's so good.
It was so good.
I just want to say that was the best thing, is doing the homework for doing these podcasts. Oh, I got to go watch Alien again. Oh, no.
Oh,
I
no,
watch,
yeah.
Yeah, the Quest again. Oh, you know.
Yes, for sure. I loved when we did, and I'll say one of my favorites was when we recorded about Dorothy Sayers, and I'm just going to call myself out and say that was a classic example of my problem, which is that I always went too long. That one was so long, we had to split it into two, which I still feel bad about, Victoria, because I know it threw everything off.
Stop.
Oh, Dorothy Sayers.
It's fine.
Dorothy Sayers.
No.
But that one was really fun. And then the other one that I always loved listening to, though this is not necessarily because it's a sterling example of a typical CFP episode. It's not. But I loved when we did the year we did Firefly crossovers, and it was me and you, Victoria, and both of our husbands on the episode.
That is the genesis of the crossover. That is the first ever crossover.
Oh man, I forgot that was the first crossover we did. Like it was so vivid. I can remember David and I sitting side by side on the edge of the bed recording it together. And that's one of the only episodes that I've ever re-listened to. Cause like you said, I don't like to listen to myself very often, but that one was so fun. And anytime we got somebody different, cause like, I know we haven't really talked about this, but we would have guests on, we would have people come in, like my friend Heather, who did a few episodes with us. I think our friend Mariah, who was our office mate, Victoria and my office mate. I think she did a Studio Ghibli episode with us one time. Like we would have these other people come in who weren't even regular panelists, but just every now and then we bring in an extra person. And in that case with Firefly, it was David and Michael. But it was always fun to have somebody, to pull somebody into our vibe that we had going on our show, and let them bring that different energy to it. Some of those episodes are some of my favorites too.
Yeah, that's great. The thing that I miss the most about the rest of the network kind of fading away, which I totally understand because the other guys like on the flagship show had been doing this way longer than us even, and it's a lot of work, but I really miss the crossover episodes. They were always such fun to put together, and like you were saying, Katie, to kind of feel out other people's vibes and do things a little differently. That was always a blast.
I also loved that, just for the record.
Well, maybe we should, like the once a year 1970s CBS TV movies where they bring lapsed TV shows back together. Maybe we should do that with the crossover.
Yeah. I think that sounds super fun.
I still want us all to go to Dragon Con together and record from there.
That'd be amazing.
That would be like CFP guys one time did like a live recording at a conference they went to together. It's fun to have that kind of energy, you know?
Yeah. After we stop recording, let's talk about maybe we can get together in a few months and do, or in a year or whatever, and do something else. We'll figure it out. All right. I don't even know where we are. Who just went?
Is it Marie?
Oh, yeah, I think it's me now.
Okay.
Okay. Well, like some of you other guys, I sort of have more of a favorite category of episode than just one favorite episode. But something I've really appreciated about being involved in this has been, like, being able to bring in guests, panelists with some other perspectives to share. I think especially of some of my college friends, Dee Anderson and Nate Craddock, who I had come on a couple episodes to deal with that dealt with like issues of gender and sexuality some early on in the show. I think episode, I wrote it down here, 22, we were talking about incarnational theology, which I realize now we were trying to talk about queer theology. I didn't even realize queer theology was a thing at the time. I knew so little, but that's what I've appreciated being able to learn over the course of this show. And to have those conversations about that area that's a passion of mine, the, you know, inclusion of LGBT people in the church and those issues of gender and sexuality. I've also appreciated having other guest panelists, like when I had one of my divinity school classmates, Anna Kelsey Powell, come on to talk about Perpetua and Felicity. That was one of my favorite episodes as well. So it was sort of my favorite category, sort of roping people in to talk about things that are important to me, using the show in that way. But also, I've just appreciated, using the show to learn new things. Like, I think when we were doing the Anna Karenina episode, Victoria, you said, yeah, well, I use this show to read things I wouldn't read otherwise and improve myself. And so I've definitely used it in that way. And I am very appreciative of that.
Yeah, I think that I am going to need to find a new way to make myself read and watch things I wouldn't otherwise expose myself to. So I'm taking suggestions about how to fit that in other ways. But that, I think, has been a real pro of being a part of this show for me.
Yeah, I've been trying to think about what's going to fill that gap for me, too. I don't know. I might just try to get myself in the preaching rota more at church.
Yeah, that sounds great. Alexis, tell us about your favorite episodes.
So like a lot of the others of you, I opted not to answer the question that you gave us and answer a different question that I wanted to answer, which is more the categories and streams of episodes that have meant a lot to me over the years. I guess I will say a huge highlight has been being able to talk about Supernatural with other people who love it.
Yay.
even though it's maybe not the most, intellectually rigged. I don't know. I really just enjoyed that because I've rewatched the show multiple times. I've re-listened to those. I'm apparently the exception. I've re-listened to a bunch of these episodes a bunch of times, but the Supernatural ones are special just because I love that show, and talking about that show and digging into it and the layers and all of that. I don't get tired of that. So that's exciting. Love the Mystery Gang episodes. It's always been super fun. Love any excuse to chat with Katie and Laurie and share that love of mysteries. But I think the mainstream for me is the miniature literature classes that I get to take by having conversations with actual literature specialists about books that I read just as a person and not as a student. There's been a really nice relationship between this podcast and the book club that I'm currently in. Some of my book club reads I've turned around and pitched as episodes, and then some of the episodes we've done, my book club is now reading. So I went back and re-listened to the Dorothy Sayers episodes because my book club read Gaudy Night. We're currently reading Jane Eyre, so I'm currently re-listening to the Jane Eyre episode so that I can remember, what did I think about this one of the previous times that I'd read it? What do people I know who are smart and who studied literature for years and years, what did they have to say about it? So that's been a huge blessing to me, to essentially get like a mini sliver of a grad school course in some of these texts that I came to after my student years were over. And like Katie, I'm an external processor, so the being able to digest these materials through conversation rather than just by myself with my book has been invaluable to me, as well as the structure and accountability towards completing some of them. And it has been a means of self-improvement and growth for me to do that. But I absolutely go back and re-listen to, as I reread some of my favorite books, go back and listen to the episodes where I've had conversations about those books. So, yeah, it's more categories, again, than specific episodes. But I'm so incredibly grateful to have been able to learn from really smart literature people about literature and not just have my take as the sort of initial gut level surface read of some of these texts.
That's so nice. I've actually been thinking about that Jane Eyre episode all day because a friend of mine, like Lori, I have been suffering from a migraine today, and so I stayed home from work, and a friend of mine started texting me late this morning, and her first text message was, "This is a dumb question, but you've read Jane Eyre, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've read Jane Eyre." And then she texted me back, "WTF, his wife is in the attic," and then it went on from there. Yeah, so that was really fun, and I have not sent her the episode yet because I don't want to spoil things, but I will eventually. She is someone who has been on an episode, my friend Emily Rogers, who was on our Trifles episode back in the day. So I I co-sign everything you said, Alexis. It's been great to talk about books that I love with people that I love, and I'm sure I will continue to share episodes with folks like that.
Yeah, we did the Rebecca episode, right, Alexis? That was great too. I really enjoyed that.
I feel like Rebecca is on the horizon for my book club. So I have a feeling that a second re-listen or third re-listen of Rebecca, the Rebecca episode, is in my near future. Yeah.
It's it was great
a
lot book.
Of, I love it's yeah. such a great yeah. book. Yeah, it is.
I really appreciated too, just one thing I forgot to say a second ago, this is Katie talking, sorry, is that we did, that we were kind of all over the, not all over the place in a bad way, but that we would do pop culture stuff, but, and also the serious literature and also the theological stuff. Cause I know, that was something that, I liked doing both, you know, like we kind of started this podcast because we wanted to have those like serious grad school conversations, but, and we have done so much of that, you know, and historical stuff too. Like when we talked about the woman's Bible, I was thinking about that episode the other day. But also then doing things purely because we enjoy them, you know, talking about texts or, you know, TV shows like Alexis was talking about that we're just, we just want to talk about something we love with somebody else. And I think that that's what kept so many of us engaged for so long too, is because it was, we never knew where it was going to go. And we had, you know, always had the chance to pitch something we thought was cool. And all of that just really contributed to keeping it such a fresh dialogue. And you know, to give everybody a chance to really share those passions was really cool.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Thank you. I always thought that it was important to let us contain multitudes as a group, and to talk about pop culture alongside literature, alongside theology, alongside history, because, I mean, first of all of those things have feminism in them, so that's important. But yeah, just because it's important for us to be able to express ourselves in that way. And I'm really glad to hear you say that you enjoyed that, because I did too. And, you know, we've gotten quite a bit of, at least in the early years, we got quite a bit of pushback about kind of not just sticking to theology and feminism. Though I will point out that the Christian humanist guys talked about things all along the spectrum and didn't get the same kind of pushback. I wonder why that could be. but no, I'm really, seriously, really glad to hear you say that, Katie. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Laurie.
Thank you. I will continue to follow the desire path laid out by people instead of the actual question, and say I've really enjoyed the unexpected, like, cul-de-sacs that we've created. Like the mystery gang was super fun. Like, I am not a video game person, and yet we talked about so many video game related properties. Like, Mythic Quest is coming back for its fourth season,
yes.
And I'm hooked on it.
Oh yes, so, me too.
That's y'all's fault.
Yep.
But like, I think my favorite episodes. Well, there really are three of them. Two of them featured people that I brought in, and I have no idea what number it was, but when Tariva and her friend, whose name is escaping me right now, joined, and we talked about Beyonce. That was really fun. I really enjoyed getting their perspective on it and just talking about Lemonade. That album was so great. But I loved getting a chance to talk about cosplay and how it has shaped our understanding of our gender identities with Jay. They are such a delight, and getting to talk with them about how dressing up as other people allowed us to find ourselves was something that I didn't realize how badly I needed, but I needed it in my soul. But I think the episode that sticks with me and the most, and I actually listened to it despite the fact that my voice sounds ridiculous when it's not filtered through the resonance of my own ear bones. How do you solve a problem like Joss Whedon? That one.
Ooh, that was really good. That's a good one.
I forgot that one. Yeah, that was a good one.
I think about that all the time. That was a really special moment for me too. Just kind of being able to have the, this is going to sound totally cliche and I'm not sorry about it. Being able to have the safe space to process something that like wasn't, is very painful for me, with people who were feeling the same way and not judging me for it, and really being able to dig into kind of the theological roots of what we were feeling. It was a great experience, and I loved that episode a lot.
I really wish I could have been on that one, because that's one I feel bad that I wasn't on, because I wanted to talk about that too.
Yeah, so I mean, that one, I felt like the same as you, Victoria, the safe space, and Christina. It's like, there's so many episodes I wish I could have been on, but it's probably best that I wasn't. That one sticks out in my mind like right now, because it was our conversation there, and you know, me angry crying on the internet, that helped me find a way to, for my own self, to weather the current don't trust your heroes moment with Gaiman and the horrors that are coming out about him.
I've been thinking about you every bit of news that's come out on that, Lori.
Yeah, because that man's work was like, I also didn't swear right now. Joss Whedon's work and Neil Gaiman's work, that like, I'm starting to wonder if maybe there might be something wrong with me, that monsters are the people who make the things that have the biggest impact on my life.
No, just them, not you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because I was like, yeah, but when that article came out, you know, support, like explaining what was going on in those podcasts, it made me think back to our conversation about Whedon, and it really helped me in that moment, because like I'm not his victim. Like, I've never met the man. But being able to come to terms with a new relationship to these texts that are now in my mind distinct from him, was really powerful and important. And I don't know if I would have gotten to that place as quickly and as smoothly as I would have without having been a part of this place.
Yeah, it's on my list to re-listen to in light of the stuff that's been coming out about Gaiman for similar reasons. Like, I want to go back over that and think about what this means for my relationship to his work, and how to think well about that and in a manner consistent with what I believe and what I value.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an important thing for all of us to revisit from time to time. And yeah, that's why I've been thinking about it lately too. And I apologize, Lori, for not reaching out to you directly, but when that news came out, I was like, oh, I hope Lori is okay.
I really appreciate that, and I was kind of glad that people didn't, because like, massive swerve. When David Bowie died, I had to field so many phone calls that day just to call and make sure that I was all right. That I was like, all right, so maybe I have to. I've put too much of my personality onto famous people. I need to be a little less vocal about my fandoms. Now this is getting out of hand.
It's okay. I understand. Every time somebody does something ableist in the news, people call me and text me about it. So I get it. It can be exhausting.
Yeah.
Or anytime Andrew Keegan says or does anything in the news. I'm going to leave that non sequitur in and confuse a lot of people. All right. Sarah, walk us through some episodes you'd like to remember, or threads of episodes, or whatever.
Okay. Well, so I was thinking about this a lot. And so I'm going to first break the streak and then follow the streak. And I think of all the episodes that I've been on or that I've participated in over the run of the show, I think the episode that I'm most proud of. And I realized that on a Christian feminist podcast, to speak of pride, you know, has its own sort of complicated feelings. But the episode that we recorded about Brave New World, and the reason that that I enjoyed That's talking, the reason I talked about, thank you, the reason I talked about, I enjoyed that episode so much, was twofold. One of the reasons is because Victoria, I think we recorded that episode together, and I had never noticed the through line of the Shakespeare references or the pattern of Shakespeare references in Huxley's novel. And that that insight is, I think, emblematic of the kinds of insights that I've really enjoyed on the episodes that I, you know, that I've listened to, that I've been on over the run. So just lightning, light bulb or lightning bolt moments when, oh, wait a second, this book that I'm familiar with, that I've taught before, has this whole other layer that I hadn't noticed. And that was a beautiful moment. The other reason I really enjoy that episode, and I'm going with proud, that I'm proud of that episode, is because it's a book that I teach at my current school. It's a book that I taught at my old school, and it's the one text on our reading list that gets the most pushback every year, to the point where some of my colleagues who are on my teaching team, my grade level team with me, were hesitant to teach it, and they were wavering on whether or not we should scrap the book entirely and try something else, or, you know, just replace it last minute. And I made the case, as I did on the episode, to my colleagues about why that book is so important, I think, particularly in Catholic schools, and mentioned that I had recorded a conversation about it, or I had been on a podcast episode about it. And one of my colleagues actually listened to our episode, and it changed her mind.
Yes, look at us changing minds.
That's really cool.
Right.
And so anytime someone new comes onto this British literature team and we start talking about Brave New World, bless her heart, my colleague actually says, and you should listen to this episode because it changed my mind about how I think about the book and why we're teaching it in
this
school. I love
that. That's fantastic.
So I think that's a really beautiful moment that we were able to create together. So that's my single episode that I'm the most proud of, or that I, you know, that I've really enjoyed in terms of its ability, you know, my ability to continue saying, hey, you know, you guys should check this out, give it a listen, and then let's have a conversation. As far as threads of episodes, I've enjoyed some of the pop culture episodes that we've done. I really enjoyed Schmigadoon. Getting to talk about Schmigadoon with you. I enjoyed getting to talk about Bridgerton and making the case for some of the more nuanced components of what is otherwise a not very subtle show.
That was fun.
That I enjoyed that one. Lori, I also enjoyed getting to talk about Wheel of Time when we recorded the Wheel of Time episode.
Sorry, I couldn't unmute in time to say I love that episode. I could not have finished those books without y'all. But I have finished every single one of those 4 billion pages.
You know, I'm still stuck in the middle of the slog, so you're in a better position than I am. Yes, I know. After I finish War and Peace, I'm going to get back to the slog.
All right. Thanks, Sarah. So now it is time for our last question. We're going to talk a little bit about how we've changed since the beginning of the show, or since we first joined the show, because I have a feeling that the answer to that in general is a lot. So, Christina, talk to us about where you were and where you are.
Yeah, I wish I were the one leading out on this, because there's a way in which the last 10 years of my life, like, I don't know what happened to them. They're like a blip. I went from being like a young professor who was just, you know, at the peak of things, and then all of a sudden I'm postmenopausal and retiring from teaching. And it's like, whoa, where did those years go? So I, and I have a son who is a college student now, and those are
who's
just such
totally killing
years.
It, by the way.
Yeah, he's killing it at bowling. Yeah,
he's so good.
Yeah, he is so good. But you know, professionally, those were just really significant years for me as a writer of literature and a public speaker and you know, teacher and all of those things. And so having the Christian Feminist podcast as a part of my world to be able to articulate and have great interlocutors on these various things that we've been talking about and have talked about on the program has been hugely significant in ways that I can't always clearly articulate, because one of the things that I feel like I've changed most is that I've been able to be more articulate on the spot and, you know, on my feet, you know, as it were. And that's been very important to me. So that's more of a skill thing than it is a, you know, consciousness raising thing or some intellectual development thing, but it's very important to me. So I am very grateful for this opportunity for these last several years to be a part of this show. And I just feel like my world of friends has expanded in a great way, even though I literally have only seen a few of y'all and would like very much to actually meet you in person. In fact, of the people who are on this right now, I think the only person that I've seen in person is Victoria. Is that right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, which makes me really sad. I mean, you know, I finally moved to Texas and then Katie left Texas. Not that Houston is anywhere near Dallas, mind you, but...
No, but I mean, closer than Alabama where I am now.
Yes, right. Well, and I have a really good friend that lives in Birmingham, so eventually I'll be able to actually meet you. But that's been a weird and kind of fun, but weird, you know, part of this for me. But it's always good to have good friends, friends who you can talk to and trust in. And work things out, either in a recording or just on the side or whatever. And I've really enjoyed that. So that's the way that I have changed and grown is by that expanding of my horizons.
Thanks, Christina. I relate to that a lot. It's funny how time works. I feel like the place that you were talking about as the beginning of your journey with this show, I feel like I have kind of arrived at a similar place to that now.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Which is, and I've been meaning to talk to you about so many of these things, so maybe we can reconnect offline.
Anytime. I got lots of time now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We really want to have you guys over sometime soon. So let's chat and you can come visit.
Absolutely.
And see our new house. I am a completely different person than I was 10 years ago. I was in my mid-20s when I started this show. I'm 38 now. Middle age is wild. there are so many things that like I was not prepared for, the way my body is changing, perimenopause, like why did no one teach us about what happens to ourselves?
We definitely need to talk. It's
evil.
You're
preaching to the fire for sure.
Insomnia was the worst. I'm finally through the insomnia now that I'm on the other side.
I'm in the everything itches.
Yes. What is the itching? Okay. We don't need to go down this rabbit trail, but anyway.
All the listeners are like, oh no,
what's happening? Okay. We'll talk about this offline. But anyway, aging is wild. I am older. I live in a different state. I switched careers and also I switched religions. So that's a lot, guys. I don't, one reason that I don't really listen to earlier episodes is that I'm not sure I would recognize myself. Like I've just changed so much over the past 10 years. And I mean, obviously that's a beautiful thing. You know, lives are fluid and the only constant is change and, you know, insert your cliche here. And I'm really grateful for all of that. I feel like I'm so much more confident in myself and my life and my body and my choices than I was 10 years ago. And I definitely think that this show and the opportunities that it gave me to learn and grow and bounce ideas off of women that I love and respect so much are a huge part of that. So, yeah, super, super grateful for all of the changes, even though they kind of came slowly and also all at once, like all great things in life. Katie, how about you? How are you different than you were when we started?
You know, it's such an interesting question because I think that I am a very different, I know that I'm a very different person than I was when we started, but not necessarily in ways that would come through in the podcast. I think that, because I haven't changed, I haven't had any, you know, big fundamental changes in my kind of, in my theology or, you know, my kind of, I guess, intellectual framework and, you know, theological, political framework, whatever, you know, I haven't changed a lot in the way that I regard life or the, you know, the lenses that I use, right, to see the world. But all of the, with the exception that all of those lenses are sharper now. So it's like you guys were saying, being able to talk about, you know, things like theology and feminism, things like that has given me the chance to sharpen the ways that I express myself on those points. It's given me ways to think about things in a different way. It's helped me have so much nuance in my opinions, because I think nuance is really what we do best on this podcast. Given how polarized most discourses are in pretty much every venue now, whether it's politics, theology, whatever, I think that we've done a great job of maintaining nuance and allowing each other to have nuance. And I think that that's been the greatest, one of the greatest assets.
Yeah, Katie, remember that conversation we have with Jennifer Dragseth? Remember that?
Yes, that was so good.
That's a good example.
Yes, it is. It really is. And, you know, we've let each other be ourselves. And I am really different than I was. And in a lot of ways, it's been nice for me that the podcast has been a constant in my life because, you know, we've been in three different states. In the 10 years we've been recording, we've lived in three different states. We made two cross-country moves in that time where I had to completely start over and didn't have any friends in person in the new place where I was. We moved, you know, we were in Kansas when we started, we moved to Houston, we moved back here, which when we moved back here, I mean, I had some friends, but Kansas and Texas, I didn't know anybody. You know, we've, since the first episode I did on CFP, we've had three babies, we've also lost three babies. Like, you know, a lot of stuff has happened, hard stuff. And so it's been really nice this whole, you know, through these last 10 years that this was a part of my life. Podcasting was a part of my life that was unchanged in the sense, not that none of us changed. We all changed. We talked about different stuff all the time on the podcast, but being able to show up and talk about something that was interesting and that didn't have to be related to whatever was going on in life at that moment was a gift. And I think that that was huge. So it's been really nice. And I think that I've been able to grow as a person anyway, right? Irrespective of what's happening. But having this as kind of an anchor in my life, a way to keep in contact with friends, even though we moved all these times, even though everything was changing, was something that helped me to maintain something that was a steady point in my life. And for that, I will always be thankful.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Katie. That was really beautiful.
Happy to have a chance to say it.
Marie, talk to us about how you've grown and changed.
Oh, well, I think like a lot of you, I'm in a very different place than I was when we started this podcast. I mean, geographically, I'm in a different state, started in Florida, now I'm in Connecticut. I'm married now. I was single when we started. I actually remember I was sort of determinedly pursuing my now husband when we were recording the first wave feminism episode. I was like visiting his parents' house and having internet issues. And, I mentioned the three kids. The oldest one is 5, so that's a lot of my life right now, and that's very different from not having kids, which is where I started out with in the show. I came to the realization of being bisexual and came out over the course of the early part of when we were doing the show. I think I wasn't out yet when we started, and probably and no small part really because of this being involved in the podcast, and all of the surrounding conversations and topics, I decided to go to divinity school and have a focus on women's gender and sexuality studies. And that's, you know, made a lot of changes in my life and thinking. Like, religiously, I feel like I now both know more and also a whole lot less than I used to, which is, I think,
that's
something
well
that
said.
Divinity school will
do. Yes, you. Amen.
Yeah. But I've enjoyed having this podcast as sort of a through line in my life, like Katie was saying. And I think I still do, you know, hold to the central tenets that we started out with, human equality, Christ centrality, and love, God's love, really going over and under and through all things. That's still sort of the center of my spiritual life.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I had no idea that you were courting your husband in our first episodes. What a lovely thing to learn.
Oh, yeah,
in our
yeah,
last
you know,
episode.
I was making trips to Virginia to try to get him on board with that.
Fantastic. Well, obviously it worked 3 kids later. So,
yeah,
that's great. I'm going to take partial credit for that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Alexis, you're up.
I think a lot of what Katie said, resonated with me. First of all, I should say I am notoriously difficult at tracking change in my life. So I have a tendency to look back and be like, I was always this way. And just that, whether or not that is accurate, that tends to be how I see. I'm just really bad at tracking change in myself. So, I don't feel in many ways like I am different. We haven't made a move, a physical geographical move since starting the podcast. I've had some changes in the sort of semi-professional, how I spend my time. When we started, I had a baby and was adjuncting. I now have school-age kids that I homeschool. I'm no longer adjuncting. I'm an elected official. My sort of professional engagement with the world is a little bit different. But I will say I was asking my husband about this, like, hey, do you think that I've changed in the past 10 years? And he made the comment, which we do a lot in our house, about how we have not changed politically, but where we are on the political spectrum has changed drastically because of the things that are happening around us. So yes. our position relative to our peers and our community is perhaps different than it was. But I don't know that there are, you know, are a lot of things that are different about what I believe, what my convictions are in the political or theological space. This podcast has been tremendously helpful in reminding me of the importance of nuance and to be able to have conversations with people and respect people who come at things from a different perspective and who see the world differently and be able to engage in good faith with kindness and curiosity. And then that's been really, really helpful for me because where I am located geographically is not the most heterogeneous of environments. And so having a space like this has been a great way to be reminded that there are people in the world who see things differently than I do. Even in our podcast, right, it's not like we're a huge spectrum of ideas. Like we still, as you said, Victoria, there are ways in which we're not super representative or diverse, but
But even that little glimpse of, hey, other people, you know, kind-hearted, thoughtful people see this differently. That's been a tremendous asset to me navigating my life. And then also coming to this podcast as a mom of young kids, a lot of the other moms I know have talked about the sense of tremendous loneliness that they had as moms of young kids, or the sort of mental atrophy of engaging only one part of their brain in parenting those young kids. And I've been very blessed that I have not gone through seasons like that. And a huge part of that was I had a variety of places where I could get that intellectual stimulus, and I could be challenged, and I could be learning. And this podcast is one of those places where I could go to be engaging with other people, to have something to chew on, something to be sharpened by. And so, yeah, I don't know how different I am. I hope I'm better in any number of respects, but I think that this podcast has been a tremendous asset and a force for good in my life over those 10 years.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that your beginning comments about the shifting of the political spectrum are super relevant to all of us these days. There have been countless times over the past week and a half that I have wanted to text you with any number of constitutional law questions. So I will probably still do that because everything is insane. But yeah, thank you so much for those thoughts, especially about the value of this experience as a sounding board. And I love that you use the phrase that you were sharpened by our conversations. That's always been one of my favorite Bible quotes that I feel like not enough people talk about, the idea that we should sharpen each other's thoughts and words as iron sharpens iron. And that's how we should treat our Christian relationships. So thank you for saying that and for reminding me of it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for welcoming me to our big, messy and gracious and kind tent.
I love that. We should get that on a t-shirt, guys. That's fantastic.
I'd wear it.
Me too.
Yes.
Love it.
Laurie.
So I'm autistic, which means change is evil, and I have not changed at all. That's a lie. I think though more like Katie, I haven't so much changed as I've been distilled into my final boss form.
No, I love that. I love distilled. That's a great, yeah. That's a perfect verb.
Yeah, I mean, it's appropriate for me too. I do not have a whiskey with me right now. But like I have changed. About 8 years ago, I had a very public meltdown about religion and politics, and had to have a dark night of the soul, come to Jesus conversation with myself. And what resulted was, I no longer identify as a democratic socialist. I'm your friendly neighborhood anarchist, because mutual aid is the thing that's going to save us. I've become even more strident about being vocal about living Christ for the world around me. And the, you know, a lot of the circles that I move in, they're very secular. They're very alternative scenes. There's not a lot of people talking about, you know, the actual Jesus that's in the Bible. There's a lot of people talking about Christo-fascist and Christian nationalists. And that's not the Christ that I know personally. And so I felt like it was a responsibility for me to be Christ, the Christ that I do know. And I gained the, I don't know if courage is really the right way to say it, but like I learned how to live that, not in no small part through participating in conversations on this podcast. And I've learned to try and be more compassionate. And I'm not there yet, but I try to be. And it is through having these moments where I'm like forced to think about something like outside of my normal frame of reference. You know, yeah, I mostly did the podcast episodes on pop culture because, spoiler alert, I'm a television studies scholar. I'm a doctor in that. And that's what I do. But very rarely am I talking about it through a religious lens. And so this being here has given me language that I've been able to take out into my community. And while I'm kind of regretting it right now, it led me to when I was asked to take a leadership position in my church, I agreed to it. I am a more obvious person of faith now than I was when we started this thing. And I am more confident in that presentation than I ever was. And I really appreciate the opportunity to become someone better. Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
I love you so much, Lori.
I love you too.
Sarah, wrap us up.
Oh man, no pressure. So my thoughts about where I am now, as opposed to where I was, or maybe not as opposed to, but in comparison to where I was when we recorded the first episode that I was on in September of 2013, I think that my self-reflection has been echoed already in some of the comments that all of you all have made. I've been through a number of life transitions. I was a newlywed when we started recording. I am no longer married. I have moved to, I was living in a different state. I moved states. I moved homes again. So I've recorded from at least three different houses over the course of the last, 10 years. And there are, in some respects, I was thinking about this the other day. There are some respects in which I still feel like I skirt the feminist part of the title of our podcast. But I think that my reasoning for pausing before wholeheartedly, you know, saying yes, yes, I am a Christian feminist, is a little more nuanced than my hesitation might have been 10 years ago. I know one of the early episodes we recorded was titled, I'm not a feminist, but, and so some of the reflections that I might have had, in response to that episode earlier are a little bit different, than they would be now. But one of the things that I do think has changed and is reflected in some of what you all have already communicated is that I have been heartened by my time on this podcast, and I mentioned it earlier, in terms of trying to bring my Christian worldview into stronger conversation with other aspects of my life. So many of us knew each other in grad school. We knew each other. We've talked a lot about knowing each other initially from secular settings, or some of our early conversations with each other were sort of within secular frameworks. And so there was the part of my life that I did intellectually as a high school teacher. There were the classes that I was teaching. I was teaching at a non-sectarian or secular independent day school when we started recording. So there was the work that I did, and then there was my faith. And one of the things that this podcast has had an integral role in is helping me to put those things in conversation with each other and trying to integrate them so that they're no longer two different components of who I am or two different sides of me. They are both a part of who I am and how I understand the world. So how I understand how I live in the world as a woman, how I live in the world as a Christian are not two different things. They are necessarily intertwined and integrated in a way that I don't think they were when we started the podcast. And thank you all for encouraging me to look for opportunities initially in an intellectual and a conversational capacity to start thinking about those moments in such a way that I have felt more confident, especially in the last few years, being able to really adopt a worldview that is trying to understand both things at once.
I think that's a journey that we're all on, right? I think that that's something that we have to figure out day to day. How do we bring all parts of ourselves to any given context as much as we can? And thank you for sharing that. I'm so happy that you feel like being a part of the podcast helped you along that journey, because I think it's something that's really difficult for all of us.
Well, thank you all for your patience and your y'all's generosity with me as we've all walked this road together for the last decade.
Yes. All right. So that brings us to the end of what is, at least for a while, the last episode of the Christian Feminist Podcast. Thank you again, listeners, whether it is your first time or whether you've been with us since episode one or somewhere in the middle. Thank you so much. We are grateful for all of you for sharing some time in your doubtless incredibly busy and full lives with us. We love you. We are grateful for you. To the rest of the panel, those on this episode and those past and present who were not able to record with us, I cannot overstate how important the men and women of this show have been in my life, professionally, personally, theologically, politically. You've all been such a blessing. I am grateful for all of you. Please, let's keep talking about things. Let's start the largest and most unwieldy group text of all group texts. I don't want to let this conversation die. I love you all so much. Thank you for everything you've given to me and to this podcast over the years. Shall we all take the tagline together?
Sounds good.
All right.
Sure.
1, 2, 3. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love.
Love.
All right. That's a wrap for the Christian Feminist Podcast. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.